Hi, it's Phil Henry. All the characters and all the creations, all the creatures that you hear on the show today are created and will be voiced by me.
World-famous Phil Henry Show. This is General Galen Shaw.
This is Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
We are the creations. We are those that walk at night.
Yes, we are those. We are the forgotten ones. We are the hollow men.
We are the created ones.
Yeah, you guys knock it off.
I like that we are the hollow men.
That's Marlon Brando, Phil, from Apocalypse Now.
What is it?
Marlon Brando, you can turn the garbage down now. Pull the garbage down. Oh, I like Of Mice and Men.
Yeah. Do I remember what?
Don't you remember Marlon Brando? Wait a minute. Apocalypse Now. No. What do you mean Marlon Brando?
Marlon Brando was reading, he was quoting T.S. Eliot or whoever it was that said, we are the hollow men, you know.
I know the poem, but...
Well, I don't know the poem.
No, that poem.
What?
That poem.
What did you say, that poem?
No, is that a poem?
Yes, it's a line from a poem. Okay.
Well, Phil, you know, did you get what we were doing?
Yeah, we were playing off of the whole idea that we're invented. You know?
Yeah, we are the hollow men. You know, and what strange behemoth slot.
All right, thank you for your poetic approach to things. However, I don't think I agree with this continuing commentary about the nature of your being. You know, you are voices that I do, but nonetheless you have very rich and clear lives, as evidenced by the way the audience identifies with you. Thank you.
No, don't do that. Don't you encourage that. Now, Phil...
Margaret, we've had enough discussion about this.
Look, I want to get into some of this... I want to get this Bernie Sanders baloney, and there's a couple of other stories here, because I've been thinking about, you know, we wanted to buy a vacation home up there at Clear Lake.
Well, the Bernie Sanders story is
not Barney Sanders.
Who's Barney Sanders?
Bernie Sanders.
Well, you said Barney. Just for the record.
Uh-oh.
Now, you guys know that people make normal slips of the tongue.
Yes, well, so does Donald Trump, Phil, but I don't hear anyone giving him a break. Whoa!
Yay!
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Wait. Donald Trump's running for president, okay? I'm sitting here doing a little podcast every day.
Oh, a little podcast now, is it? You know,
I notice you're kind of sitting there smiling.
Well, you know, this is very interesting to me. Because Margaret did make a good point. Donald Trump goes out there every day, shoves a foot up his, not just into his mouth, he shoves it right up his own, excuse me for saying this.
The general.
Hey. Donald Trump goes out there every day and shoves his own foot right up his own ass.
Good God.
That's right. And everybody, you know, jumps him. So when you go, or whatever you do.
Now, last time your voice was cracked.
We want to call you on it.
You guys can call me on it all you want, okay? It's a little tiresome. I don't think the audience necessarily appreciates it. Here's the thing. I'm not running for president.
We know that, Phil.
All right, well, if you know that, then what I say is not all that key. Forget it, man. You know, I listened to that. You know, that whole interview we did yesterday with that dumbass Dave Oliva, that went on about 15 minutes too long, and I'm sorry that I did it.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Dave Oliva interview yesterday that went nowhere. And I listened to it today, and I or whatever it was, I listened to it in the car, and I'm like, why the hell did I let this go on?
Well, what was that? That kid was on to talk about the different police things.
That kid was extra stupid yesterday. And there I was sitting there trying to make sense out of him and trying to make sense out of you guys. I want one of you guys to, you know, jump into the breach when I'm not really on top of it and say, this interview sucks on wheels. And what are you guys looking at?
Well, I'm waiting for you to finish. I can't believe this...
What, you know, Phil's give us...
No, but I'm listening to him just ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Phil, we give you all. We let you run the show. You've insisted on it. We allow you to do that.
Oh, you allow me?
That's right, because you know as well as I do, if we really got out of control and you started hearing us in your head, never mind.
You almost got too heavy.
Anyway, that whole Dave Oliva thing was nuts. All right, on the show, so you want to hear about Bernie Sanders' thing?
All I know is this guy, Bernie Sanders, running for president. The guy's 75 years old. He wants to buy a vacation home, sit on his ass for the first time in his life, you know, hang out with his wife, go fishing, whatever the hell he wants to. And these jackasses that were his supporters, holy Jesus.
Well, wait, let me look at this thing.
It is a bit
hypocritical.
Not hypocritical.
Hypocritical.
Yes.
I've got it here.
No, let me read it, Phil.
Pull it away from me.
There, I just did again. Bernie Sanders does not like fancy schmancy things. He isn't a huge fan of gazillionaires, tuxedos, or any of the highfalutin trappings. This, of course, made him a hero among the country's growing socialist movement. So when news came that the former presidential candidate bought a $575,000 vacation home for his family, the hypocrisy police were ready to pounce in all caps. This is,
First of all, a $575,000...
Don't grab the copy, Phil.
Margaret, if I want to grab that copy...
Here, take it, then. What an asshole.
Oh, Margaret.
What, are you got a ball now?
Can't read.
Cabbage, Ray.
Here, you can read it now. I'm just going to say, a $575,000 vacation home doesn't seem like diddly shit to me.
Well, I mean, what's a really expensive home? Talk about it in the millions.
A good vacation in California, a vacation home can run any price, but one that's on the beach, one that has beachfront, one that has ocean view and ocean access. In California, you're talking minimum $3-4 million.
But we're not talking about California. We're talking about Vermont. We're talking about a lake.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Jesus, get a load of you, Phil.
Well, do you deny that it's going to be cheaper?
It says the Sanders family's new waterfront crib, as they put it, according to the Vermont newspaper 7 Days, which broke the news, is 1,800 square feet, 500 feet of Lake Champlain beachfront.
1,800 square feet.
That's what it says.
That's not a lot.
No, 1,800 square feet. One half. Well, I better not say.
Oh, get a load of the. Oh, you're about to say one half of your house is 1,800.
No, I was not. No, I was not, but it's.
Phil, why don't you give it a rest?
Go. There's a lot of people. Go ahead.
1,800 square feet. Now, Jane O'Meara Sanders, the Sanders wife, always wanted to live there. Now, let's take a look at the Bernie files and burnouts soon cried foul on social media and in headlines about the Sanders' third home. The Sanders have also homes in Washington, Burlington, because apparent socialism and diversified real estate portfolios don't mix. There are several subreddit threads dedicated to the Senator's real estate news. For his part, Sanders has yet to respond. He's probably busy writing his forthcoming book, Our Revolution, A Future to Believe In, is set to hit the bookshelves November the 15th.
Is that it?
That does seem to be it, yes.
That's not much of a story.
No, I thought there'd be more to it.
That's not much of a story. Whoever wrote that, it's, see, this Helena Andrews Dyer. I don't know, what's the point of your story, Helena? That's just a little kind of a.
It's what we used to call it when we were in the service. We'd say, well, where's the newspaper? I need, you know, well, what kind of an article do you want? Do you want an extensive one or do you want just a quick ass wipe? And we want an ass wipe. That's what we call an ass wipe.
What's called an ass wipe? You wipe an ass with it?
No, because that's. You would read that in the time it took for you to take.
Well. Oh, for God, living God's sake.
No, time to take a dump.
Yes, I wasn't going to say.
All right, I get it. No, you're right. It's not an extensive article at all. As a matter of fact, they don't even quote any of the social media that supposedly is so offensive. It's a 3-page story written by Helena Andrews Dyer. It is... Well, I don't even know the website that we pulled this from. Where'd you get this, bud?
I don't know.
Well, you don't even know where you're pulling things?
Oh, he's laughing at the fact he's pulling something.
You're the one to say it.
I'm going to kick...
Hey! Get her off me.
You make me look like a monkey again. You, I swear to God, bud, you make me look like a vine-swinging baboon.
All right, watch it, watch it.
Break it up!
What do you mean, break it up? I'm the one strangling you.
And I'm telling both of us to break it up.
Get over there and sit down. Bernie Sanders and his five... All right, so we have that horse shit. Who are we talking to about that?
I think it's Dean Wheeler from the Northern California.
Oh, great. Dean Wheeler, the Northern California holistic thing. And then we have the man captured climbing... Trump Tower, that was the news today. Brad Rifkin is a New Yorker. He's moved Rifkin Advertising there, and he witnessed this thing. So we're going to talk to Brad, who is firsthand looking at this asinine thing. Now, we had another story. Oh, here it is. This is the story that CBS defends So White Fall as critics slam. CBS has 6 new programs starring 6 white male actors in the fall. So when CBS Entertainment President Glenn Geller took the stage at the TV Critics Press Tour in Beverly Hills on Wednesday morning, it wasn't surprising that the very first question, second, third, and fourth, was about the network's commitment to diversity. What message does it send, a reporter asked, that the leads of your show in the fall are all heterosexual white men? I'm glad this question came up first because we're very mindful at CBS about the importance of diversity, Geller said. We need to do better, and we know it in terms of leads. We are definitely less diverse this year than last year, and like I said, we need to do better.
Well, isn't that marvelous? I think that it's a good start for CBS.
Oh, it's a good start, huh? They were doing better last year. What do you mean it's a good start?
It's a good start for them to get to back to where they've started to get back to where they were last year.
Good start.
I don't know, Phil, but I do know this. I know television. I know what a very challenging environment it is. Indeed. I'm Margaret Gray. Do it better.
All right.
Wait. Do it better.
Yay!
You phony baloney.
All right, Margaret, that's about as good as it's going to get right now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, traffic. Let's go to the traffic. Bob Bakian out there.
Well, Phil, I believe the front of that right now, I got my eyes left, I got something in my eye. So if you're traveling on the, or if you're crawling or cradling on the 49 freeway, make sure you're cradling in a pile of five potato with a shotgun there, and you laugh, and the guy come up next to you, blow his mask off. Here comes Skyboy. Look out.
Whoa. Hey, I got a warning, Bob.
Job done, David.
Okay, I'm here on the Vernon Freeway, Boston Man, and the Boston Marathon, And up there on Top 5 of the Foothill Freeway, I'm going to look at the take a look at those power cords, I'm going to fly down, I'm going to run going down. Let's go to the boy, Sky Baby, sweet man. I thought they could do that, I'd rather. So because of the day, and the book goes boo, and the booty will go.
Rudy Ooten, toot, 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 and toot, toot.
Remember when you were six and you danced and you laughed and you had fun for the first time in your life? At Gledigo's, it can happen again. Senior Center for those of you 65, 70, 75, and 80 years of age. You can be 6 years old again because we allow you to walk, nay, swing your way through the high weeds and the big tropical daffodils and daffodils. And there's a swing set for those of you who at the age of 80 have already visited the farm.
Remember when you were six and you could just walk through the glades and laugh and giggle at the turkeys and the turtles and all of the wildlife? That life can be yours again at Sweet Farm. Sweet Farm Retirements. Yes, if you're 65, 70, 75 years of age, and you want to wander down an isolated beach, perhaps wander up onto a isolated railroad track and maybe sit there and play with the rocks and the sand and the flowers and not really see that freight train coming, you can do it at Sweet Farm.
Yes, Sweet Farm. I've been here for 15 years, and I feel as if it's my home finally. Finally, they're getting off my back about getting out of my room and coming down to the ice cream socials that they have on Sunday. I can sit in my room and stare. That's what I want to do.
Sweet Farm, your retirement place. Your retirement Shangri-La. Sweet Farm, call us at 6666. The devil?
The devil made you do it.
Sweet Farms. Pardon me.
Christ.
Dave Handale at 6 tonight. 6 o'clock news with Dave Handale. I'm Dave Handale, and I can do it. I do it good, and I do it right. The 6 o'clock news team brings you the news at 6. Only the news happening at 6. If something happens at 6:01 or 5:59, we don't go near it. But if the news happens right at 6 o'clock, you'll get it all. You'll get it now. You'll get it hard. You may get it soft, but you'll get it. And you'll get it right where you want it. Dave Handale and the 6 o'clock news team. The news that happens at 6 stays at 6. Dave Handale, 6 o'clock news for 6 o'clock people.
Hi, this is Kayleigh McEnany. I am a surrogate for the Donald Trump campaign. Watch me on CNN, on the Don Berman Show, on the Anderson Cooper Show, and the one with John Berman. Kayleigh McEnany, that's me. I'm a surrogate for Donald Trump. Want to make some out of that? I'm about 5'5". I'm blonde. I've got obviously bleached hair, and I'm wearing these funky-looking dresses. I got no ass. Forget it, man. It's just no good.
Kayleigh McEnany on CNN.
Let me be the one, baby.
Jesus.
Got some whacked out sponsors on this program. I'm
whacked out. Yeah, whacked out, man. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And as you may or may not know, we are, you probably know. Well, maybe you don't know. I don't know.
That depends on what I've been listening.
We have had an operational change here, a major operational change of personnel, and it has slowed a little bit of our response down here. To some of the inquiries and daily customer service we do for our Backstage Pass people. But if you want to become a subscriber to our website, now is a great time because we're going to be starting something very soon, real up-close and personal customer service.
Now, I want to make sure I got this right. You're going to start calling people.
What is that about, Phil?
No, just once a day, we will draw the name of a BSP, a Backstage Pass subscriber, and call them. I'll call them. And find out how their experience is, what do they need, what do they want. You know, it's just our way of staying in touch with
with our customers.
Well, I'll tell you, you got some hands-on...
Yeah, talk about hands-on.
Hey.
You see what he does? He turns everything into a filth. He turns everything into a...
Turns everything into a backdoor... Into some kind of a backdoor atrocity. That's what you're going to say.
A backdoor atrocity? What is that? Oh, my God, you're talking anal.
No, he's... Will you come on, please? Well, you're the one that brought up adult film.
That's what Bud does. He turns everything into an adult film.
Will you be quiet, Bud? As I was saying before this erupted, what are you talking about hands? What I meant was, you're the guy that said hands-on.
I didn't say it. That said it.
Yeah, you're being hands-on.
Meaning that you're going to take your hands and put them on the...
Hands-on generally means that you're getting personal with the... I don't know what it means. So, but that's what I'm going to be doing anyway. Doug Danger was with us yesterday. He's going to join us again here on the show because there was a meeting. They had a meeting of the network TV suits, and Doug is on his way actually home from Beverly Hills, on his way back to ever-loving Orange County there. Doug, after having been there at that little mini junket, is that what you'd call it?
Well, I wouldn't call it a mini junket, Phil. I'm, being from Orange County, it's more like a long drive. But we went up to Beverly Hills Wednesday night to watch the rollout of CBS. It was up there in the Beverly Hills Hotel as part of the Television Critic Association press tour. And a lot of guys from out of town, if anybody has to talk about that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, though, so I kind of go my own way in my own time. But I was, having a few drinks at the bar, talking to a lot of the guys from out of town, talking to some of these poor guys, writing for out-of-town newspapers. And I got to tell you, I feel bad for them. Here is a guy by the name of Jeff Honker, and he writes for a Pittsburgh weekly called The Shut Mill, right? And here, I just got a little bit of tape on this. How'd you hear it?
I come here every year,
And what do you think?
It's very white, a lot of white people.
And Jeff, I'm a gay man, a gay journalist.
Yeah, you've been saying that.
Well, it's not very diverse, is it?
No, it's not diverse at all, and so I hope I see diverse.
Now, you're an Asian-American?
Actually, I'm Asian. I'm from China.
All right. How long have you been here?
About 4 months. I came over when I started writing for the Shut Mill.
What does it mean, the Shut Mill, by the way?
I don't know. Something about a shut steel mill, I guess.
So you say there's no diversity?
No, there's no diversity. You take a look at that. No diversity up there at all. Not all. Blow.
All right, so, Bill, that's Jeff Honk, I think, or Jeff Honk. I've got to find my note.
I thought you said Jeff Honk?
Yeah, Jeff Honk.
I mean, Jeff, I didn't hear Jeff Honk. So the guy said what? He said basically...
Well, you didn't hear it?
Well, yeah, no, I did hear it. He was saying that there's no diversity in the CBS lineup.
Exactly. And CBS's president of... who is this guy? Oh, he's the entertainment president, Glenn Geller. And I got a comment from Glenn. Here it is right after this. What do you think?
Well, I am not pleased. We've got to do better.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, last year we were way more diverse. This year, not so much.
All right, what do you, is it the casting?
Yeah, it's the casting. That's it, it's the casting, yeah.
You're Glenn Geller, right?
I'm Dave Geller.
Oh, so you're not the CBS president?
No, a lot of people mistake me.
Why are you breathing so hard?
Three guesses, the first.
So that was unfortunate, and I thought I would get that guy's comments because it did reflect accurately what Glenn Geller had said earlier, and here are those comments.
And we have to do better, and we will do better, even though we did it better last year.
Are you Glenn Geller?
What?
I'm Doug Danger, Orange County Courier, gay man, gay journalist. You Glenn Geller?
Yeah, I'm Glenn Geller. Don't interrupt my comments. They're important.
All right. So Glenn, this is Glenn Geller. I was able to get that question in, Phil.
Let me ask you a question. Were you yelling?
That sounded, was that a press conference?
No, it was not a press conference. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I go my own way.
Look, Doug, you say that all the time. Being a gay man and a gay journalist is fine, but when you're butting into the middle of a guy's speech...
Hey, the only time I'm going to be able to ask a clear question on my own with the guy standing right there is when I just jump right in and ask the question. Otherwise, these guys will not make themselves available to the questions what I have. See? And,
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you...
Are you going for some TV gig yourself?
You're getting a little announcery.
They'll go like that. Yeah, notice that?
What are you guys saying?
You are getting kind of announcery.
I don't know what you mean by getting announcery. I'm a gay man, gay journalist, you know?
We know you're gay. Oh, God, do I know you're gay. Oh.
Oh, here comes the homophobia now from the general.
It's not homophobia, Doug, when we're saying you're gay man, gay journalist 85 freaking times a minute. Now, we're asking you, are you going for some kind of a TV gig?
What if I am?
Because it's noticeable you're all, hey.
Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And what I try to do is I'm simply trying to present myself observationally. Are you guys talking about?
Doug, we're not knocking it, Doug, but you don't sound real. You sound phony baloney, you know?
Yeah, sounds phony baloney. Yeah.
What are you talking about, phony baloney? Let me tell you what. I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to be on CNN. And I don't think you people will be, will you? No.
You don't sound good, man.
Why not?
Because you're sounding phony. You're going like that.
What a douchebag. Doug Dagger, Gay Man, Gay Journal. And I'll tell you this, Phil. If I get any more exclusives like I just got with Glenn Geller, you won't be out of... You won't be like... I gotta breathe. You won't be...
Doug, just go get yourself a drink of water.
You got it.
All right, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, folks. Pardon his new announcery tone, but he's going for a TV gig. Who's...
I don't know. Is he gonna see it? Did he mention CNN or something?
Let me be the one, baby.
Oh, man. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. And you know you can
do better, baby. I know that. Is that Lori Griner from Shark Tank? Look at the pair on that.
What a
city. Yeah. You won't change your mind. Know that
you can take it. You don't need to hesitate. This is Margaret Gray for the Backstage Pass. You know, folks, when we talk about Phil's world, what goes on between his ears stays between Phil's ears, unless, of course, you're invited into that world. It is a labor of love. It is, in fact, a labor necessary for his own sanity. Phil Henry is one of the consummate comedic professionals in our business today, recognized by some of the top comic minds themselves as a man apart. And now you, too, can be a part of the Phil Henry Show creative process by becoming a Backstage Pass member. Get in on the behind the scenes, watch as Phil creates each and every day this unique thing called the world of Phil Henry. Getting a Backstage Pass for 1 year, just 1 year, will also get you a full and complete collection of the Phil Henry Show Best of the Radio digital download. Do it now. Do it today. Do it right this moment at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. I'm Margaret Gray.
General Galen Shaw here for Pespo's Pipe Shop. You know, I love a good smoke. I love to have a nice, crisp tobacco in one of the old school pipes that I've got. Some of them my grandfather passed down to me from years gone by. My grandfather fought in the Spanish-American and in World War I. And let me tell you something, no one told my grandfather what to do. If he wanted to smoke tobacco, he did. And if he wanted to smoke something else, yeah, he did that too.
Oh my God, General.
Don't get in my face. Yes, only at Pespo's Pipe Shop will you find delicious tobaccos, choice flavors, and the best pipes. Big bowls, large cans to suck out of. Excuse my language. Pespo's Pipe Shop in downtown Girton.
First time your friends really got to see ball me. 20 million cash, seen that dealt with my
two. Oh, we'll get Dean Wheeler on the phone, Robbie.
And I told you this back in.
Dean Wheeler going to come up with us here to talk about Bernie Sanders' vacation home. Thank you very much, Doug Danger, the Orange County Courier, for that whack thing.
You know, they said that there's not enough diversity. So if they don't have enough diversity, why don't they get diverse?
Well, they're going to put white people out of a job.
So what, man? There aren't enough black actors, not enough Hispanic actors as it is.
Naturally, I would think you'd be thinking that way, you know?
Spit it out, man.
I said, naturally, you'd be thinking what I think you think.
What? What are you saying, bud?
But Robert's black. He's going to say that.
Yeah, and you're white. You're going to say that.
Well.
Yeah, man. Think about that.
It doesn't work the same way.
Why not?
Because like you were saying, white people have the power now, and we can't readily give it up either.
Hey, bud. Why don't you do yourself the biggest favor you'll probably ever do yourself and go into the back and drown yourself in a bathtub? Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Why am I plotting that?
Sit down, will you? White people have the power. They can't give it up that readily.
Right now, white people have the power in the television. Why would they give up the power of the TV when you get to give it to a black guy?
Because there's a lot of black people now on television, man. A lot of black people and Asian people and brown people, all that stuff.
You don't understand, Robert. It's scaring a great many of these entrenched whites. Yes, I'm talking about a minority of whites, but nonetheless, entrenched white nationalists. These are individuals.
Oh, Margaret, are you going to bore us to tears with that again?
How dare you?
All right, Margaret, just sit down, please, will you?
Am I boring you by sitting here? I can get up and leave.
No, you're not boring us. That was very rude, General.
Well, she gives this speech all the time.
All right, well, it's a philosophy that we kick around. It's one that I happen to adhere to. It's a philosophy we kick around a lot, that there's lots of all kinds of Americans now. It isn't just kind of a white country anymore. It's lots of us, and lots of us means that us make a lot of the decisions. So anybody that wants to join one particular group, if you want to be in the white club or in the Hispanic club, whatever, you're kind of barking up the wrong tree.
Look, I don't doubt any of that. I'm just talking about Dickman here. Aren't we talking about television?
Yeah, I'm talking about diversity.
Talking about diversity. Well, look, we had that conversation.
Mavis Leonard was on the phone last week talking about the election. I don't know if she's got any feelings on that or not.
Give my auntie a call.
Don't bother your aunt. Give my auntie a call, man.
God damn, man. We don't have time. Jesus, I'm telling you, bud.
Well...
I
hope. Oh, Mavis, it's Phil Henry, honey. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Phil. Let me turn this down. Just listening to some music right now. You lied to me. I'm doing some housework.
Hey, honey, we're on the air right now.
Who's that, Robert?
Yeah, we're on the air right now.
Mavis, we're on the air right now. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. Let me turn.
Well, you're fine. We wanted to ask you a question about television.
Yeah, you watch a lot of TV.
I do. I watch a lot of television. I love different shows. I watch America's Got Talent. I think that is a wonderful program. I love watching Bret Baier on Fox. I love to watch Bill Riley.
Bill O'Reilly?
I watch Bill Riley. I don't know.
Well, his name is Bill O'Reilly.
I'm just telling you, the man I watch is Bill Riley.
Bill Riley, what channel?
On Fox.
No, dear, that's Bill O'Reilly.
I know who Bill O'Reilly is. God.
All right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Call me up in the middle of my morning. I'm doing housework. I'm checking out. You know, you lied to me.
All right, Mavis, what do you think about the current television? Do you think there's too many white people on TV? Forget it, man.
You know, you call me with the same bullshit.
All right.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to bother her with that ass question, okay? So forget it.
Ass question?
That's an ass question. All right. So we were going to get on the phone here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Society. And Dean joins us from Northern California up there in Novato. He's actually at their Novato Holistic Society. Is that like their little restaurant up there, right, Dean? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm fine, Phil. You know, this is called the sweet bean and or the grief bean. And we call it the grief bean. There is a bean that is grown in Central America. And the grief bean is a small bean that is so difficult to cultivate, and it takes so long to cultivate it that it gives you nothing but grief. You feel as if you are in a constant state of grief and regret that you ever planted the bean. And then when you eat it, its nutritional value is iffy. See, so it's the grief bean, and that's why I'd call the restaurant that.
Now, why would you call your restaurant that?
Why would I call my rent? Because I like get a load of. I'm listening. I'm talking to this gal right now.
Just pay attention to us.
Sorry. Why would I call what?
Why would you call your restaurant something after a bean that is hard to cultivate and has barely any nutritional value?
Because that's what the restaurant is. Wow.
Now, don't you get it?
Well, why would you have a restaurant that has no nutritional value and was difficult to cultivate?
Because that's what we got. Okay, I mean, I'm doing the best. I got a wife with a singing career. I got to run the resort. I got to run this dump. And that's what I got, okay?
All right, there's no need to get upset.
Well, she's breaking my balls, and it's not even 10 o'clock in the morning!
You can't hang up. You cannot. You're not allowed to hang up. He'll be back.
Fuck!
What's with you, man?
Well, she's breaking...
I'm sorry if I'm, quote, breaking your balls. I thought it was a good question.
No, it's not. No, it's not a great question.
All right, Dean, the reason why we're talking... You know, please. Okay, please don't lose your temper. The reason why we're calling... Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm waiting for a question.
The reason why we're calling you is because we know as a Sanders supporter, you were very opinionated during the election. And what I want to ask you is, do you have any opinion on him buying a $575,000 vacation home?
What'd he do? I didn't hear about this.
Yep. Bernie Sanders bought a $575,000 vacation home in Vermont.
Oh, horse dung.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, right here in a newspaper.
He bought a $575,000 vacation home.
Yeah, on the lakes of, on the banks of Lake Champlain in Vermont.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, that takes, we used to say that takes brass balls, but that takes balls made of a material that I don't think has been discovered. We'd have to discover it on a meteorite or something.
All right, well, can you be a little more descriptive?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
What do I mean by it takes balls made of a metal, an alloy, that was formed on another planet?
No, wait, we're talking, what do you think about, instead of, give us a little more of an idea as to what you mean by that. You think it's hypocritical?
I don't think it's hypocritical, no. I just think it takes balls made of an alien alloy. That's the only thing that I can...
What do you mean by an alien alloy? An alloy is a combination of metals.
That's what I think it would take. It would have to be a combination of metals formed independent of the planet Earth. For a guy like that to do that.
So you think it's hypocritical?
No. What is, Phil? You want me? I'm not allowed to hang up.
Hey, I don't know what's going on with you. Okay, but
I don't know what's going on with you. You've answered your question.
All right. How can you say it takes balls of an alloy made on another
I'll do it. Dean,
so laughing boy there can't get the question out.
Dean, how can you say what you're saying when it doesn't mean hypocrisy? Then what does that mean?
What does the fact that he needs balls the size, because he needs balls the size, of an alloy?
The size, I don't understand.
So you're saying it takes guts?
I'm saying that, I'm going to...
You know what, you want to hang up, go ahead.
I really honestly do, I can't take it any longer.
Dean Wheeler, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait just a minute. What just happened there?
I have no idea.
He didn't want to answer any questions, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, but you don't want to talk about Bernie Sanders?
Doesn't sound like it.
I don't know what's hanging it by up. I have an answer.
All right, well, go ahead.
What he meant was that it takes balls made out of...
We know, an alloy from another planet.
Well, yeah, but that's what he meant.
Well, what does that mean, for Christ's sake? You better get to it, or so help me God, I'm going to kill somebody.
Wait. Everybody's flipping their lid here.
By the way, Mr. Smith, at the 15th morning, you've got... Wait.
All right. Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I agree with Bud. All he's saying is it takes big, balls made out of an
alien alloy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so in other words, it doesn't take courage. It's not hypocritical. It just means in order for him to purchase that house...
Yeah, all right, I understand now. Yes, he needed a pair of balls that were made of an alien alloy, yeah.
Yeah, all right, I get it. What's wrong with you?
Fuck this.
Oh, look at that. Phil Henry just said, F this. You heard it, I heard it.
Wow. Phil.
World famous Phil Henry show can be right back.
Wow.
Get a load of this guy.
Hannity's is a great farm fresh product. Have you been to Hannity's? Well, if you haven't, give a hand to Hannity. We've got eggs, chickens, we got ham, we got beef, everything that's farm fresh, everything you need, everything, every kind of farm product. For breakfast? No, just what you need that's farm made. Maybe you just like to lay in freshly laid eggs. Maybe you like just to walk by a ham that's been cured on a farm. Maybe you like to just walk by cows. Anything that's farm fresh. It doesn't have to be for breakfast. It doesn't have to be for anything at all. You don't have to explain it to anyone. Just if you want something that's farm fresh, you can come to Hannity's Farm Fresh Products. That's all. Hannity's Farm Fresh Products. Straight to you from the Sean Hannity family. They're farm fresh, okay? That's all you need to know. I mean, if they hire me to do a commercial, guys ask me all these questions,
Hannity's Farm Fresh Products. From me to you. It's a wink and a nudge. And you'll get a budge. You'll love your budge every day when you get that nudge.
Nudge Budge. A brand new electric car of the future. The Nudge Budge. Visit Nudge Budge in Buena Park, Pacoima, Sherman Oaks, and the new Nudge Budge in Century City. It's a nudge. You'll love the budge. The new electric budge. I'm Don Nudge, and I'll sell you a budge. I gotta. Don Nudge Budge. I gotta sell you the budge.
I'm like the CEO. I'm calling shots. Call it Don Julio.
Well, world famous Phil Henry show. Visit our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman to watch our videos. Got a lot of videos. Also, our fan page is Phil Henry Fans, PHANS, on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Phil Henry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. Margaret Gray?
Yes, that Margaret on Twitter, twitter.com/Margaret Gray. And General Shaw is new to Twitter.
Yes, I've got a Twitter. I don't know it. I don't know if I'm using it right.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Yeah, all you gotta do is go on there and write stuff.
Well, it's Twitter. It's General Galen Shaw at Twitter. And then Bud Dickman is the Bud Dickman, right?
No, I'm not. Nobody's asking you, they're asking me.
I know, I just don't do Twitter.
We know you don't do Twitter, so what's yours?
I don't
do it.
Shut up, man.
Don't tell him to it's the real Bud. No, it isn't. It's the Bud Dickman.
Yeah, the Bud Dickman. Twitter.com/the Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Lennon, I don't do it.
We know that, Robert.
Why don't you have a Twitter account, by the way?
Who cares, man? You don't have to have a Twitter account. Why do I have to have a Twitter account?
Because you can stay in touch with the fans of the show, you numbskull. Why don't you want to do that?
Hey, man, when I get off work, I got 5 other jobs I got to do.
All right, fine.
Don't want to be...
But I do demand that eventually you get a Twitter account, okay?
What am I to do with it?
You write stuff down, man.
I've seen your Twitter account, man. You doing ha, ha, ha. Saw a guy get tased the other day.
I did.
You what?
I wrote down that I saw a guy get tased in the butt and he fell off a fence.
Will you get out of here? I saw a guy get tased in the butt and he fell off a fence. Open up your hose, you know what's up. What the hell is this? The famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, that dude that got caught climbing up Trump Tower, man. This is Goofy, and we got Brad Rifkin on the line with us. Brad Rifkin is in New York City, and we wanted to get just a little bit of a read on this thing from him. Hey, Brad, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Phil. Brad Rifkin here.
And you were in New York at the time. Were you in the area of this guy climbing this tower?
Yeah, I was. As a matter of fact, Phil, I was just about coming out of lunch. God, this guy was going up to Trump Tower in Midtown, and
what? It was the Trump Tower.
Trump Tower, yeah. What did you call it?
The Trump Tower.
Oh, I would call it the Trump Tower. I can't read it. Is that what it says?
Yeah, it says Trump Tower at the top.
Oh, okay. I was coming out of lunch, and I turned the corner to go back to my office, and I saw this guy. And it was, you know, a big crowd. It's about a 58 story building, Phil. So it's not a bad sized building. It's not the biggest building. But we saw this guy going up the side of this building like Spider-Man or something, you know. And I was standing with Jim Pepcock, you know, his partner in our firm. And Jim starts yelling up at him.
He did what?
He started yelling. He said, hey, get on from there. You know, get on from there. And
well, why would they do that?
Why are you doing it? Because first of all, I didn't see there was a crowd of people. I didn't see any cops. And you don't know if the guy knows that what he's doing is against the law or not. Maybe he thinks it's okay to do. I don't know. But I know what Jim was thinking was this guy needs to be told, at least on some semi-official way, you know, get off the building. Get off the building. You're not supposed to be on it. And then if he keeps climbing, well, then it's on him, you know.
I got to think that, man, any guy that's climbing a building...
they're going to know that it's against the law.
Well, maybe. But Jim was just... Like I said, he's not making it official.
So what were the people saying on the street?
Oh, okay, you know, look at that nut, you know. And some people thought that he might have been a terrorist. And then it didn't make any sense that a terrorist is going to climb up the side of a building to blow it up. Anything. What he might do is go inside the building to blow it, you know. And then some people were saying, well, it's a publicity stunt for Donald Trump, you know. He's going to do it, you know. And I said, well, Donald Trump is in a building at the Trump Tower. I said, why would he, you know, rent office space? I said, well, his name's Trump Tower. I said, I keep making that mistake.
Yeah, he just made the mistake with us here.
Right. Then somebody said, is it Donald Trump? And the minute there, I thought maybe Donald Trump.
You thought it was Donald. You think Donald Trump's able to climb a building like that?
I don't know. I mean, a guy claims to be able to do a lot of stuff, you know. Who knows what he's able to do?
Talking to Brad Rifkin, Rifkin Advertising, with an office there in Manhattan, and he saw that guy climbing up the building. So some people were thinking it was terrorism. Some people were thinking it was Donald Trump. Some people thinking it was a publicity stunt.
Yeah, some people thought it was a publicity stunt. on the part of, the Donald Trump organization, you know, promote that he's running for president of the United States. And I said that's pretty. I don't think so. That's a stupid, stupid way to promote. You want to be president, you know.
All right. So as this kid got higher and higher, how high up did he get?
I think the police finally stopped him. Just a couple stories. The 21st floor, I think. But 58 story building. It's almost about halfway. Got up there halfway. But then a big cop reached to pull him in. You know,
21 stories. Good Lord! You get you look at a guy hanging off the side of a building. You get vertigo.
Yeah, it's pretty. Scary looking thing, you know. And of course, the police, they come with a big net.
Yeah, that's the thing I want. It's like a big trampoline, huh?
It's not a trampoline. Jesus Christ, it was a trampoline. The guy had bounced off that thing up another 21 stories and hit the street like a tomato.
God damn.
Oh my God.
No, the general's not wrong. I mean, they did bring in a big net or a basket or something. So in case the guy was going to fall, you know, they'd be able to catch this guy. And these baskets or these nets or whatever they call, they're pretty soft. They really absorb, you know, they absorb the guy, you know. So I'm very impressed with the New York City Police. But then I got in my car and tried to get out of there, and it was a traffic jam.
I was going to say, the people that gather for these things, it's just a significant-sized crowd. I imagine the police are there trying to get this guy off the building. The next thing you know, they're having to do traffic control.
Yeah, well, I said I had to get home because my wife had called, and my son is going to get a shot, or he's going to get a plate in his head, or he's going to... I know what it was. He was going to get an award from school, I think, for water taxi. I don't know what. There was something going on with him. I forgot. So I had to get home, and I was calling my wife to say, why did I get home? And there's a crowd of people, and I'm honking the horn, and I'm hollering out the window. I said, get out of the way. Come on. And finally, the crowd parted, and then I got a cop. I got pulled over for a ticket because I was going down the wrong side of the street. So that's the problem.
But you were going down the wrong side. So many people on the street?
Yeah, so that's the problem. You get so many people, you don't know what side of the street you're on. And so I finally got a ticket.
All right, so all's well that ends well. Did you ever find out what's wrong with this guy?
I didn't look into it. I don't really care. I mean, the reason why I was watching in the first place was to see whether the guy's going to, you know, fall. I mean, it was a ridiculous and dangerous stunt. And it could have been very, very ugly had he fallen. You know, and there's a lot of traffic on Fifth Avenue, so it's like that.
All right, well, Brad, thank you for your time, and I'm glad you made it home. You got a ticket, and your son had something he had to do.
I got home, I asked myself, what was I coming home for? And he goes, I don't know. And my wife said, thank God you're here. And I said, for what? And she said, you're here. She said, because I gotta leave. And she's leaving for 3 days to go visit her sister. Who lives in Virginia Beach.
Well, that's why you had to get home.
Yeah, well, but she said it was something about my son. And I finally figured out later, I said, well, I had to get home to babysit my son because my wife was leaving.
Get that as up. He had to get a plate in his head.
I didn't know what it was. I forgot about it.
All right, Brad, thank you.
Bill, thank you.
That's not a very intelligent man, is it?
No, that's not a very intelligent man. That's Brad Rifkin. He's a good man, but he's not too bright. He's not too swift on the pickup, whatever the hell you want to call it. Okay, that's a beautiful thing there, Brad Rifkin. So, now this guy, you know, by the way, the guy on the building today, apparently had held up a sign. He said, I'm a friend, I'm not a foe, and I come in peace, or something like that.
What? Sound like come from another planet.
Yeah, sound like the guy's a Martian or something.
No, you know who the Martian is? You, because that's where you're going to be living.
Hey, what? Come on.
Come on. Every time I open my mouth, this guy, I'm telling you.
All I was trying to do is make a commentary.
Make a commentary. All right, so you were saying. What I was saying was, this guy on the side of the building, you know, going up the building, I forget now. All right, well, I guess you interrupted me.
Well, if it was important, you'd remember.
Bud, I'm gonna strangle the life out of you and laugh while I'm doing it.
Wait.
This guy going up the side of the building, you were right, had a sign.
That's what he said. He was not an enemy or anything like that.
All right, but he was a fan of Donald Trump's.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think he was too, and I think he wanted to meet Trump, and this was the only way he was going to do it. But,
Damn, I don't think so, man. He had, like, a video on YouTube, but he's got a hood on. He looked real weird.
I don't know. I there was a cat from Outdoor Magazine that was doing some commentary on CNN, so they had to get a guy. They had to get a guy who was familiar with what they call flat face climbing, whatever the hell it is.
What is it called?
I don't know. It's like, flat...
Yeah, it's flat, the flat face.
Well, what does flat face mean?
Well, a lot of... I better not say.
But you and your jokes.
Anyway, they got a guy from Outdoor Magazine. But what are you doing with your nose?
I'm a flat face, see?
Cut it out, man. Come on.
But you're not funny, all right?
He's pushing his nose flat. Oh, I get it. Flat face.
Yeah, the human flat face. Dang.
Yeah, so they got a guy from Outdoor Magazine, and he was talking about the different, the mountain climbing equipment, these suction cups and all kinds of crazy stuff.
But I think they use a suction cup on a mountain, do they?
Well, I don't know if they do or not, but this guy had these gigantic suction cups that you could crank into the side of the wall. Yeah, and the other thing the guy was saying was, it's really tiring, man. You get really tired. So by the time he got up to where those cops were, and what those cops were doing is they had to secure him with some kind of a line that had a hook on it. So they were going to hook this thing onto the guy somewhere. You had to hope that whatever the guy was wearing was secure, and then just pull him in.
Well, that's what they did. And you saw, as this officer was talking to him, I believe he was saying, well, let me just put this hook on, and you'll be safe. But what he was doing, in point of fact, was trying to get the young man close enough so that they could just pull him in.
Yep, they did.
Yeah, it was a pretty impressive operation all the way around by the New York City police, and they deserve, like I was saying yesterday, man, these guys are not our enemies. The cops are not our enemies. The cops are they're us, you know?
Well, now, come on, Phil, don't get all touchy-feely.
I'm going to get touchy-feely. And when they F up, when they screw up, when they're not, you know, look, we expect cops, we expect criminals to behave like criminals. We do not expect cops to behave like criminals. So when they do, it's extremely concerning, it's scary, and we want to correct that as quickly as we can. What we don't want to do is stick our head in the sand, and we don't want to hide from it. But when they do good, we want to say they do good. But the whole point is, these guys represent us, and so we want to give them every opportunity to succeed and not give them every opportunity to fail. So, you know, we're a bunch of taxpayers who are, you know, where are you guys going?
Well, you're giving a speech. This is the end of the show.
I thought we'd go and get cottage cheese.
Yeah, okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right,
I'm not going to talk anymore. Thank you. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And, of course, the show, what is this?
Oh, I love this song. Dear lady.
Get out of here with that.
Lady,
they were
cursing at you.
At your life. Oh, I love this.
World famous. You want me to do it? I got to go throw up somewhere.
What an ass.
Oh
my God, this song is me. This is me. This is all about me.
Oh, so you've never been to you, huh?
In many ways, General, no, I don't feel that I have, because every woman sings this song at one time or another in her life, and she says, California.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, God, I gotta throw up too.
Famous Phil Hendry Show from the extra. I gotta be sick.
And I've seen some things some women shouldn't see.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by Phil Hendry for Sempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. God damn, man.
Sorry.
Won't you share a
part? What a pig!
Oh, you call me the pig, do you? How's that feel?
Into Nice and the Isle of Greece, while I sip champagne on
the yacht. I swam nude in a man's backyard. I'm sorry.
And showed him what I got.
And I stripped my pants off. Oh.
And I've seen some things that